The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows, and as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she from her poverty has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. So this is my first Saturday back since pilgrimage. France says hello. All the saints of France say hello. Saint Bernadette even said hello. It was a weird kind of pilgrimage for me this year, because rather than just being sort of the spiritual director, which in the past I kind of did, but I didn't have an assistant this time. So if you were the person who didn't get up in the morning for breakfast, and I was counting all the people who came to breakfast, and it was 15 minutes before the bus is leaving, guess who's knocking on your door saying, "The bus is leaving in 15 minutes, and I'm sorry you missed breakfast, but you're going to have to be on the bus." That was my job. I was up in the hotel knocking on doors. I can say that because it was nobody from our parish that was in that situation. They were all from someplace else. But the thing I wanted to say was that we found, and I think in our travels, this need that when we come back, we need to find ways in which we've been changed by what we've experienced. And I think that's sort of the pilgrimage attitude that we all have. You know, we always talk about the church as a people on a pilgrimage to heaven. If we were able to encounter every person and situation in our daily life in such a way that we want to find out how God wants to change us through that, I think that's a whole different way of living. And it was kind of refreshing to be able to come home and even see in myself a little bit of a difference from the person I had been when I left. So I'm really good about knocking on hotel doors now. So. Well, there's a theme that runs through all the readings tonight that I'd be remiss not to mention, not to talk about it tonight. I find it interesting that this is the passage that we receive from the first book of Kings, chapter 17. This one where, and it's very familiar because we hear it all the time, about how Elijah goes to this widow of Zarephath and her son, and she has just enough left for one little flour cake. And she says to Elijah, she says, "I'm just getting ready to light the fire and bake this cake, and then my son and I, we're going to die." She was not exaggerating. I think that we find ourselves always thinking, well, somebody will come along and help them out. Well, she probably was just fine while she had a husband. But as soon as you lose your husband, you lose your whole identity and all your rights at the time of Jesus. Even today, in many places, you'll find this to be true. And so when she is literally saying, "We're going to die," because she had nothing else. But what's interesting in this chapter 17 is it doesn't start there. It starts out, Elijah has called out Ahab, King Ahab, and he's been unfaithful and has turned to idol worships and pagan religion. And God gave Elijah the ability to decide when it was going to rain or not. So there's a famine going on, and Elijah is still allowing that famine to continue because this is what God told him to do. So he sends him to this place where he lives in the desert. He drinks from a wadi. A wadi is just like a runoff kind of stream. It's not a perennial flowing stream, but water that comes from someplace else. It goes through here, and usually you can rely on a certain amount of that water. And so he lived there, and God had ravens. He sent ravens to send him meat and bread every morning and every evening. And then suddenly the wadi dries up. And God says to Elijah, now you're to go to this widow's house in Zarephath, and she's going to feed you. So he revealed to Elijah that this woman was going to be able to feed him. So it wasn't like he was just saying to this poor widow, give me the last of what you have, right? I want it. He knew that God was going to provide, even in the most serious, severe situation as this. God will provide. In the gospel today, there's this widow, another widow, who has very little, maybe two coins left. And Jesus acknowledges the fact that she has given everything she has. Now, he's not exaggerating. This woman was poor and she had nothing, because Jesus would have known that. And she was very humble and very simple in the way she brought her offering to God. And she said, okay, I'm going to give you everything I have. And she does. And Jesus recognizes that. And of course, I'm sure she was provided for. But she didn't know that that was going to happen. Or maybe it didn't. Who knows? We don't know the end of the story. In the second reading today, we hear the same kind of a situation where there is really no hope for God's creation, no hope for humanity, lost and without any kind of rudder or any kind of compass, not knowing how to begin to atone for the sins that we commit, finding ourselves in difficult, desperate circumstances. I'm not exaggerating. This is desperate where we find ourselves sometimes. And who can we call on to help? Well, we call upon Jesus Christ because he emptied himself and he gave the last of what he had and he was. He gave everything to us. You see, there's a system, there's a theme here that's developing. What is it that God is asking of me? Well, it's everything. And I'm not saying he's asking for your flour or your oil or your two pennies or whatever it is. He's asking for your heart, which is everything. Because if he has your heart, then he has all your stuff too, right? If we know God, we don't really have the choice to say, well, how much am I going to give and how much am I going to keep? The question is, how much can I give, right? Not how much should I give. I sound like I'm doing a fundraiser, but I'm not. This is a spiritual fundraiser today. But I think it's an important message that we need to go home with today. How much can I give? How much am I giving, I suppose, is the starting point. And then where does that go from there? Do I have enough trust in God to give my last two pennies? Or do I have enough trust in God if Elijah says that your jar is not going to go empty and the oil's not going to run dry? Do I really believe that? That's the pilgrimage perspective, I think. You go from place to place. You experience things. You don't know what comes next necessarily. But it kind of opens your heart to be able to receive whatever it is that God is sending your way. I'd like you to kind of focus on that idea this week. You'll find dozens of little ways that God is placing things in front of you or giving you words to hear or things like that where you might say, I need to pay closer attention. Maybe God is asking me to do something differently. Maybe God is asking me to change, to become more like he made me to be, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. It's good to be back. France was great. The weather was pretty much the same as here, so you all enjoyed a good bit of weather too. We brought all of those experiences with so many saints in France. We prayed for all of you everywhere we went, and all of your intentions, and I hope you could feel that happening, because it's real. To all those holy places and beautiful places, that we were privileged, the 40 of us that went, 41 who were privileged to see. But it's good to be back.